Glory to God. Hey, we've turned with me to Colossians 3. Thank you, Jesus. It is a Valentine's Day weekend, so I'm hoping that you know those that applies to. So had a good day with it. Amen. It applies to everybody if we recognize that we have one who's made himself our Valentine, one who made himself the lover of our soul, and then because he's the lover of our soul, he chooses to release love to us, and he chooses to draw us nearer every time. Amen? So we're just going to go, I'm going to just jump in here at a little place to start, and this we'll just kind of see what happens with it. I know that this is a favorite scripture of some people. Verse 18, wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be embittered against them. Hallelujah. Now, I know some people who don't know anything about Scripture. They don't know anything about God, but they do know that verse. And then one other verse, the one that says, do not judge me. Don't judge me, and wife, submit to me. You know, that's just kind of the way it goes sometimes in some atmospheres. But see, that's a mischaracterization of what is actually happening here. Because as we get clarification, if you'll flip over with me to Ephesians 5 real quick. We'll just kind of flip back and forth between these two. See, Ephesians 5 verse 22 says, wives, be subject to your husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, and he being Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives ought to be to their husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and blameless. So we're seeing that from that passage, you can get the idea now that this wives being subject to your husband is not just a sterile command all in its own, and it's not something that's just there. It's, what it's actually there for is to cause us to recognize our position in Christ. It's caused us to recognize that each and every one of us is the bride of Christ. And we need to respond to him, be subject to him. That's not being lorded over, although we do make him Lord, but that is to be joined with him. And as we're joined with him, as we become one in him, now we can begin to experience the power of that oneness, the power of that strength. And that's something that is released. Why? Because we're choosing to submit as Christ submitted to the Father. When Christ submitted to the Father, there was something that resulted for the bride. There was a wholeness now that was resulting for the bride. There was a nurturing now that was resulting for the bride. There was a place where the bride could be made to who she was supposed to be. And also, she began to be held in a place of safety. That's what the nature of a natural marriage is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a place where the bride can feel the safety that she's longing for. And it's a place where the man can see and receive the respect that he should have. It takes both sides of that for that to work properly. When Christ submitted himself to the Father, the result was the bride was nurtured. and lifted up. It's interesting to note that in both Colossians and, in Colossians, what chapter did we read from? 3. How many chapters are in front of 3? 2. What's in those 2 chapters? Learning who we are, learning our identity in Christ. In Ephesians, what chapter did we read out of? 5. How many chapters in front? 4. What did we learn? Our identity in Christ. First and foremost, we learned that every good gift comes from above, but we also learned that all those things are hidden in heaven for us. Not from us, but for us. And then we began to learn about our identity and the fact that he's calling us into a relationship, that he's calling us to be a son, be a daughter. And then we began to realize that he caused us in chapter 2, he causes us to rise up with him, to be seated with Christ. Chapter 3, you began to learn about the love. Begin to learn and be rooted and grounded in love as Christ is rooted and grounded in love. So that the atmosphere of love can flood your heart. Then in chapter 4, you began to learn how to put on the new man. And I'm here to tell you that if you don't get those things in that order, then chapter 5 will be of no effect for you because you've then mastered the first parts of it to get to this last part. Because we can't properly represent Christ in our marriage, the man, the husband is supposed to be taking the place of representing Christ to the family. And if we're just off doing our own thing, if we're off lording it over somebody else or dominating somebody, then we're not representing what Christ did. We're not representing the love and the character of God that he represents. Amen. I see the man are finally going, okay, oh, yeah, we got it. See, it's necessary for us to recognize what God has put in us. All the years that I was married to Kim were before we became Christians, and even for a while after we became Christians, until I began to understand who I was supposed to be, were really, the success of that was really attributable to one person, Kim. Because if it had been somebody else and they had been a different personality, that probably wasn't going to work out. Yeah, that ugly D word where people just hit the panic button instead of changing. Hello, I just stepped on somebody's toes. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Because a lot of times that's what we do. We just, rather than change, rather than realize our nature, rather than realize who we're supposed to be, it's just easier just to step out. Society has made that way, way too easy. I'm not saying that in some situations it's not justified. There are some situations where that's, I don't see how it's going to be avoided. But I can tell you that in the majority of the times, we're just making it easy on ourselves rather than changing. So, I know, that just made me really popular with everybody. That's good. But my point is that before I became a Christian, before I began to learn how, there was only one thing that I can think of that really, really made a difference in the early years, is that regardless of everything else that I did, I had a vision to grow old with her. I had a vision to do that, which basically meant that I learned how to quit responding at such a high level. I won't say quit responding totally, but quit responding to every little thing as if it was an atomic bomb going off. Because when I began to realize that most of the things that are in, that are going on, that's my wife's, well, that's my mama's phone, no? I began to realize that not everything was, if it didn't matter next week, it wasn't worth getting all worked up today. If it didn't matter next month or next year, I probably didn't need to respond like it was a nuclear holocaust today. Because that was part of my nature to do that, and so therefore I had to change that. I had to allow God to begin to put a little something else in me that's no longer responding to every input like it was the end. And we laugh, but the deal is that I'm sure that I'm not alone in this. I'm hopeful that we're hitting something somewhere for somebody. But the deal is that when we begin to recognize who we are, when we recognize what God has called us to, when we recognize His faithfulness in our life, when we recognize the love that He's put in us, now that we can begin to respond in love to those around us. He's put love in you. I can't begin to respond in love until I have love. But the more that I become aware of the love of God, the more love can be reflected in me, or actually radiated out of me. It's the fullness that He's put in you that allows you to minister to another. But the most important person to minister to is our spouse. If it's not starting here, then all of it that's going on out there is somehow probably feeding your selfishness rather than who you are. In other words, if my whole thing of trying to love somebody is all external and it's not happening with my spouse, I'm out of order. Now, I understand not every spouse is so amenable to that. It's not always so easy. I'm not looking at anywhere in here so y'all can quit feeling guilty. Because the reality is that for Kim trying to love me, that was going to be a difficult situation for a long time. But it didn't stop her. That's what I began to recognize, and we began to cultivate, and we began to learn about creating a safe place, a safe environment. Once I was able to dial back my responses so that I didn't respond to everything as it was a nuclear holocaust, now then I was able to begin to perceive that there was a necessity to accept her for who she is and allow myself to be accepted for who I am so that we can begin to speak to one another in truth and in love. When in that safe spot now, see, she knows everything there is to know about me. And she still chooses to love me. Wow, it's amazing. It's also a safe place. That's the kind of safe place that He's wanting to create in each and every marriage, is where we can be safe with one another. And as we're safe with one another, then it may have to start with you. It may have to start with you. Maybe it can't start with your partner, your spouse, but it can start with you. It doesn't matter. See, that whole line of thinking, if you're thinking, well, you know, I'm not married and I'm not even looking to get married, this doesn't apply to me, it still starts with you in every relationship you enter into. Because when we enter into a relationship with somebody, that relationship, the nature of those relationships is always perfecting something in us. Like I said last week, I think being part of a body, being part of the body of Christ it's very much like being married. Because it's preparing you. It's both the blessings and the difficulties that cause you to mature and become who you're supposed to be. Yes. Because I would like to tell you that if you're in a church, that it's all going to be smooth and hunky-dory, but that's not going to actually happen. So let's not pretend. But sometimes it's the rubbing up against somebody that causes us to have to mature and realize, hey, if they can so easily upset me with this little trigger, then maybe I need to deal with the trigger. Maybe if I'm looking around and I see all these people who are just being hateful, maybe I should look and see where the hateful comes from. Maybe if everybody is offending me, maybe I should look and see if there's something in me that's offendable. Hello. Okay, did I get everybody by now? I want to make sure that everybody's got their feet out there. We'll have a healing service at the end. So my point with all this is that as Christ loved the church, so the husband is to love the bride. Because see, as Christ loved the church, he called the church into the fullness of who she is. He called the church and he called out of the church the beauty of who she is. He called out of the church the wholeness of who she is. He began to nurture and train up and grow up and began to breathe life into every part of that relationship. If we enter into relationships around us and we're choosing to breathe life into them, we're going to make a difference everywhere that we go. I will tell you this little thing, you're not responsible for the fruitfulness of that. You're only responsible for the fruit to be displayed. We're not called to the result. We're called to the obedience. And as we walk in obedience, then we're giving the opportunity for the Lord to come and breathe on that in somebody's life. They have a choice what they're going to do with it. If you're breathing life into your spouse, there's something that's going to happen from that. If you're breathing life into your business partner, there's something that's going to happen from that, even if they don't totally understand. When I used to pray over the facility at Net One before anybody would get there, there was something that was happening in the spirit, and it was amazing how. I think we had maybe one or two in 10 years, one or two actual computer issues, okay, in 10 years, which is a remarkable thing. 99.99% uptime, unheard of for a business. But one day, I didn't pray, because I got interrupted by a phone call and never got back to it. I didn't pray over my Mormon friend's desk and door. And he came to me and asked me why I didn't pray. I had no idea. I don't know how he knew I was praying every day, because no, I was never done in his when he was there or when he was around. And it wasn't like I was leaving gobs of oil on there so you could see a streak every day. But he knew that I didn't pray that day. See, somehow I was still imparting life, even though I wasn't even intending to part life in that direction in that moment. But you have that opportunity. You have that opportunity. If we're living with somebody, you have more opportunities to impart life than anybody else. Hallelujah. Do you realize that you're either the storm or the answer to the storm? I got some amens and I got some frowns. I'm not sure which ones I want to respond to. If you're the storm, you're probably still on the frowns, I'm guessing. But you have to recognize you're either there and you're going to be a part of a solution, or you're there and you actually created the problem. It's important for us to recognize what and be honest with ourselves about what role we're playing. Because if we're not recognizing the role that we're in, then we won't recognize how the solution is arrived at. If I don't understand that I am the storm, I'm going to continually make the storm. I have a couple that I've worked with, and she doesn't understand she's a storm. She thinks because she prays about it, because she takes it to the Lord and she submits to the Lord, that she's being the responsible Christian she should be. But the fact that in real life, she's not submitting to him whatsoever. She governs and controls everything and is ugly about it at the same time. But that's actually what goes on, but that's not what she sees. Till she sees she's the storm, the storm continues. Conversely, he needs to be able to be who he's called to be in the situation and call and lift up and bring forth. Because if he could address the hurt and the insecurity in the center of the storm, she would no longer need the storm. If he could be the safe place that she really needs and be strong enough to be that safe place in the midst of the storm, now then she could actually start responding. She would have a reason to respond in a different manner. I know that really got deep, but here's the deal, is that some level we're all responding to one another in the same ways. What God is calling us for is he's calling us to recognize our position and recognize what we're bringing to the party in every relationship that we have in our life. Either I'm being the storm or I'm being the solution. You know, Christ thought himself to be the solution everywhere he went. He didn't have a bit of doubt as to whether or not he was going to be the solution. When he was standing in front of somebody, he knew what the answer. When he was standing in front of the woman at the well, he already knew he was the answer to her need. That she had already had 5 husbands, but those husbands were insufficient to be the answer to her need. It wasn't about something she could get from a man. It was something she needed to be getting from her God. When we allow Jesus to be in us, now we can become that answer. When we allow Jesus to flow out of us, now we can become that answer. Sometimes Jesus flowing out of us looks like simple things that we offer up out of our, that we can do even in our own effort. Sometimes it means that we have to reach into a little deeper and offer something to them that was totally flies in the face of what's being offered to us. When Peter and John came upon the man at the gate beautiful, what did he ask from them? He was looking for alms. So they say, silver and gold I have I none, but what I have, I give. What we have to recognize is that sometimes God puts you in that situation because you have what it takes to be the answer. It may not be what they're asking for, but you have to look to what they really need. Because if he had given them alms, they would have solved his problem for breakfast. He could have gone over then to Taco Bell and got some breakfast. He went to Taco Bell, he didn't even get food. But that's my personal take on that. But my point is that if they had given him what he asked for, he would have missed what he really needed. But he reached in deeper and recognized, God has put something in me. There's already something in me. There's something of the Godhead in me. There's a miracle stirring up inside of me. It's already here. It's waiting for a place to happen, and this looks like a place to pour it out. It's easy to get excited and clap about that until it's your spouse who's sitting there griping at you. And you realize, hey, I have something in me that is here ready to pour out for them. Hallelujah. That's over the line. We're not going there. Hallelujah. Proverbs 10 and verse 12 says that hatred stirs up strife, but love covers a multitude of situations. If you come at me and all I do is respond to you in kind with what you came at me with, what did I give you that you didn't already have? Nothing. If you come at me and I turn around and I let love cover a multitude of sin, now I've given you something you didn't expect. I've given you something that can actually be the answer to your situation. I've given you an opportunity to respond in a different way. Our relationships within families, our relationships, you know, sometimes it's relationships within families that are the ones that are the hardest to deal with. Why? Because we know what every button that they got. Well, if we grew up with them especially, we know how to push that button because we grew up pushing that button for fun. Sorry, Mom. We grew up pushing the button because we just wanted to see them go off. But see, now God has put something different in you. Now you can come alongside them and help them to disable the button. Now you can come alongside and breathe life over them. And so releasing something in them, calling them to a new nature, calling them into a new space, calling them into a greater understanding of who they are. And as you do so, you're actually beginning to look and sound like Christ in their life. You have an opportunity to shift their thinking. That's the purpose he put in each one of us. Some of us are going to be speaking from a pulpit, but we're all speaking from somewhere. And sometimes we actually have to use words. But sometimes it's just because of what you do with your attitude and your posture and all that has to do in that area. Because, see, mostly the what you're living is what's going to speak to those who are around you closest. If I'm releasing Christ in my daily life, those are the ones who see you the most. I had something to say. See if I can come up with that. See, marriage is not mutual manipulation. Friendships should not be mutual manipulation. Our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ should not be mutual manipulation. You can kind of get an idea whether or not you're actually doing that by, because if this saying comes up out of your heart when they do something that's not good, see? When they do something that's not good, and you think, and you begin to think, well, after all the things that I've done, after all the things that I've done, what does that tell you? It tells you there was an expectation in what you were doing. There was an expectation to receive something in exchange for what you were doing. And as there was an expectation to receive, that means it was offered in something besides love. Because see, an agape love will freely give with no expectation of return. So I can just give Kim give the keys to the church there. But I actually have an expectation to return. So it wasn't actually given in love. It was just given as a manipulation for the moment. How'd that work out for you? Is that working for you? My point is that when I do something, and my whole point of doing it is so that I get them to like me more, to accept me more. When I do it because I want something from them, I will do this so that Edward will fix my car. Now then, I've done something to manipulate, and then that's not love. But see, we're called to freely give and freely release. Now it's time for you to freely give. It says, if I freely give, thank you. If I freely give, if I freely give, there's no expectation of what happens on the other side. It's just something I want to do for you because it's something that's bubbling up in me. Hallelujah. Come on. The other part that I began to realize is that I couldn't just serve self. Not in my marriage. Not in my relationships. If I'm just serving self, that's not a relationship. And in my marriage, when things didn't go right, my prayer would be, God, change her. Do you see what she's doing to me? Do you see how unfair and unjust this is? I can tell you, prayers like that are just pure selfishness. They don't work. When we pray the prayer of selfishness, after you know, God will actually even, I've actually seen him do it when you're a little bitty baby wearing your diapers. But as soon as those diapers come off, he's not going to answer that prayer anymore. Because he wants you to be understanding that you're not in this world just for yourself. You're in this world to be there for somebody else. We don't come into a church. We don't come into a church service just for ourselves. We're coming here to allow God to move in us and through us towards our brothers and sisters. We're allowing him to build something up in us so we have something to release in our day as we walk around in the world around us. He's looking, he's knocking, he's wanting us to recognize it's not just about us anymore, but it's about what he's put in us so he can be released in the world. Those are the things now he's beginning to stir within us. An awareness that it's not just about me. I was pretty sure it was about me when I got married. I was almost 100% convinced. It was just about me. But I was wrong. Because see, now that I enjoy being a blessing to her, and she enjoys being a blessing to me, it becomes something so wonderful, so compelling, that it changes both of us. That's what you're ultimately looking to do. And so, in a couple of weeks, we'll have been married 40 years. But I can tell you, these last almost 20 years have been very compelling. It took me a while to get started. It took me a while to get to do my part right. But I can tell you that if you have the opportunity and you start it out right, you can have that kind of a relationship the whole way through. Because why? Because now I'm making an investment in her. She's making an investment in me. And God gets the increase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. So, did anybody learn something? Does everybody know where they stand? If you need some help getting to there, start looking and praying through Ephesians 1, 2, 3, and 4. Because, see, that's what's going to prepare you for those things. Allowing the love of God, allowing yourself to go up and be with Him, and allow Him to pour in that love, so that now that love can have a place and it can begin to be built and rooted and grounded in that love. Now all of a sudden things can look different out of the outflow of my new nature. He has given us a new nature that will override all those things of the past. It'll override the person that we used to be, and it begins to call forth the person of Christ, so that no longer are we responding out of that old nature, out of that old way, but we can respond out of what He's put in us. And that's going to look and smell like a whole lot different than what we did before. Amen? Amen. God bless you. We love you. Oh, you got something? Hang on. Yes.
I would like to put a big bow on that word, because it sounds beautiful, and everybody in here has a desire to be pleasing before God and to be a blessing. Everything that He spoke of, we all want it. And Jesus in chapter 15 said, "I'm the true vine and my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." And then you can keep going on through the scripture. And that paragraph, he's describing an image of a vine, and we know where the branch is attached to him. So everything that Pastor just spoke of, without the continual abiding in the vine, we can want to do it, but we'll fall flat on our face. So stay plugged into the vine, and simple obedience. I mean, because Jesus gave us the key, and you know how he concludes this chapter of the vine? He concludes it like this. He's speaking of, he's the vine, we're the branches, abide in him, let his word abide in us. And he concludes it in a very practical way. He says at the end of the verse, he says, I'm sorry, I have a parallel Bible, so yeah, it's not like a normal Bible. It says, so he's speaking of the vine, and then look what he says. He says, "As my Father has loved me, I have also loved you." And then he speaks about love. And then he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you may go and bear fruit." Look what he says, "that you may go bear fruit. And that your fruit may remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, that he may give you." And he says, "These things I command you to do, that you love one another." Look at how he concludes the chapter on the vine and the branch. He says, "These things I command you to do, that you love one another." So it's going to flow out of that relationship with him so that we can do what he asks us to do, to go love one another. So.
Amen. Good job. Good addition. So let's go breed branches this week. God bless you. Love you.